folks, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Good Game Guys with your hosts, Dr. Captain,
Dag,
Daphne,
and me,
Kramer.
I'm me.
Oh, okay, you're me.
Is me.
You're me now? Are you like a Nintendo avatar now?
I mean, wait. If you're me, then who am I?
I'm you.
But I'm me.
And I'm I.
Wait, if you're you, he's me, and she's I, then what the fuck am I?
Who's on first?
Just some guy. Anyway, as you folks may have noticed, we're kind of down another host. Unfortunately, TKO was saying he was kind of feeling a little under the weather, kind of had some stomach issues going on.
Then he died.
Oh, sadness. No, don't do that.
Like, that was just the beginning.
Much
he got worse.
Chagrin.
Fine.
Yeah, he's still very much alive, so hopefully he's listening at home, or heck, maybe he'll try calling in at a certain point. But for now, it's just the four of us. And with that said, with the four of us being here, I think it's about that time we start talking about what we did this whole week. So I feel like I kind of want to go first because, well, I'm at least experiencing the second day of being 26.
Woo! Yay!
From, like, yesterday,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
Old.
Wow, Kramer here.
I didn't even hear that very clearly.
Oh, he's calling me old. Yeah, we got, like, a different set of speakers here.
You're not old. You're young.
I feel old, though. I'm going to die the next day.
Oh, are you?
Maybe. I don't know. Am I?
I don't know.
In your 20s, and you're saying that you feel old.
So what does that do for those of us who are in our 30s?
You are, like, near to death.
Right?
This dude's, like, on borrowed time right now, man.
I am rocketing towards my 30s.
I am rocketing towards gray hair and not giving a shit. Get off my lawn!
Oh, make me.
So you're going backwards now, Deg?
Oh. Ouch. Yeah,
that was nice. Well, I'm rocketing towards a long gray beard, so we'll leave it at that.
Dude, I don't even want... I'm not touching that one.
Good.
But yeah.
We're not an X-rated
I pretty much got to... turned 26. Like, the Lord gave me permission to grow old.
Oh my god, I had so many horrible things to say about Stephanie's comment that I literally bit my tongue.
Could you please just say
what did I say? I said we're not an X-rated show.
Whoa. We can save those then. We can save those.
I guess, yeah. We'll save those for another
time.
We'll
save that.
Good game, guys. Maybe. After dark.
Should we make that a thing, actually?
No, God,
I think
no.
We should make that a thing.
No.
Why?
No.
What would we talk about?
Because it's 10 p.m.
Oh, yeah, it is kind of after dark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
good game,
like,
guys. After dark.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So moving on, what else have you done this week, dude?
So thanks to some friends that pretty much gifted me some really awesome stuff for my birthday, I managed to start in my process of catching up on The Walking Dead. Thank you, Dag.
Oh, you're what?
So,
Walking Dead.
So, yeah, with that said, I finally get to do the 400-day expansion. Spent most of the night figuring that one out because, what was it? I was kind of doing a bit of metagaming achievement whoring, if you will. So I had to win a game of Rock, Paper, Scissors in The Walking Dead. So that took a while.
Fair enough. Thankfully, The Walking Dead is short enough that you can play it over and over and over and over and over again and see all the different story permutations.
Pretty much, and that was kind of interesting to see things a little differently the second time I decided to go through them. And now I wound up starting Season 2. And I don't know if I really want to start saying things, because if TKO is listening to this, I know for a fact he's still on Season 1, Episode 2.
Ooh, don't
yeah,
do it. Don't
I
do
would
it.
Split your throat, too.
Spoiler alert. Don't do it.
So, like, episode 3 of season 2 came out yesterday, I think.
So I got some catching up to do.
Stuff's just getting, like, harder and harder to deal with.
So it's life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Aw, that's so
kind of like Game of Thrones. It's like, you don't expect them to top what they've done, and then each time they stress you out further, and I think that's where all my gray hair is coming from.
Do you think the Game of Thrones Telltale game is actually going to be as intense as The Walking Dead?
I sure hope so. It better be.
Do you want a reenactment of the Red Wedding?
I want a reenactment of the pimp at his trial.
Wow. All
right, enough of that.
All right, I guess enough of that.
Aww.
I'm sorry, Kramer. Catch up with the show, damn it. Anyway, so aside from that, yeah, I got Walking Dead. Someone gifted me Starbound. Even got the latest add-on for Payday 2, which, hey, I don't have to worry about shields anymore. How awesome is that?
So, in other words, you've been busy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fair enough.
That's kind of it. Got a huge bottle of Sailor Jerry's that's just waiting to be opened.
Wait, you didn't start it yet?
You're not drinking on the show?
I told myself I shouldn't this week.
I thought that was a prerequisite.
You're getting older. You're, like, maturing and stuff. It's weird.
I haven't had a drink on the show since I knew I didn't have to leave until Thursday.
Oh.
So, like, I'm upset with my sobriety. Like, it's broken. Fix it.
Pretty much. So, that's my week.
All right, Dag, what are you playing?
I have actually spent the past week going back through the Mass Effect series. And I had to go with FemShep because Garrus is awesome.
Oh.
Oh, what?
You went that route.
I did, in fact.
What, you got like an alternative route you're trying to suggest here? I sense like one of those kind of weird teen fangirl Edward versus Jacob thing going on right now.
Oh, totally Team Garrus. Excuse me, I've got some more calibrations to do.
Oh, okay. We've got Team Garrus right here, Stan.
He has them to do on you, is what you're telling us.
Ooh.
He had reach, but I had flexibility.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yay, quotes from the game, totally out of context.
Is that number two?
Yes.
Okay, hey, damn. Look at me remembering, like, three words from a middle game of a trilogy.
Yep, so I'm still, like, kind of in the middle of Mass Effect 3, and it's... I forget how depressing the game is. Like,
it was
Mass
pretty
Effect
depressing.
1 and 2 give you some hope. Mass Effect 3 just kills everybody that you like. It's kind of like watching Game of Thrones.
You know, I'm halfway through Mass Effect 3. I got it when it came out, but I never continued playing it because the DLC for it has, on PC at least, has never gone on sale. Ever.
All right.
Like, literally, the PC DLC cost as much as the entire trilogy.
Wow. Like, for everything, or just, like, the one DLC?
DLC on the PC costs upwards of, like, $50 or $60.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's, like, each DLC is, like, $10 to $15, and then there's, like, 5 or 6 of that. You know, it's just, ugh. And the fact that they've never, like, had a sale, never dropped the price, and it's, like, you could get the game by itself cheaper than any of the DLC packs.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's true, then.
Pretty much.
So... I've been doing that on top of course, episode 3 of The Walking Dead Season 2.
I'm so curious to find out what team Span over here is on. He hasn't said a thing yet. Span?
What?
Are you a Tali? Are you Team Tali?
I've saved the romance options till the third game. I haven't made any choice, but I haven't played the game in, you know, a year and a half.
You have had no romantic interest in all of Mass Effect?
No, I knew that... that it would carry from game to game to game, and I wanted to see, you know, what would be available in game 3, because, you know, every game they introduce new characters, so, like, I'd been saving myself like a blushing bride.
Which is
kind of silly, because some of the triangles, like, some of the arguments you see from the carryovers from Mass Effect 1, like, if you pick one of the characters that doesn't join back up with you in Mass Effect 2, and then they happen to come back in 3, and you've already gone through, like, a couple of different partners... Some of the shit they say is really funny.
How dare you get over me?
Oh, God.
All right, moving on.
Anyways.
So, yeah, Dag, by all means.
That's pretty much been it for the past week. I've been dealing with some personal crises that I'd rather not go on about.
Hmm.
Why'd you mention it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I'm not going to go on about it. what have you guys been up to? Just pick one. I don't care.
Well, I have finally been able to sit down and attack my Tomb Raider game. So I've just
finally.
Like, crazy. And very excited about that. What else? I checked out, remember I told you guys I was going to one of the studios to check out?
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. You're going to be at, like, on the motion caption studio?
Well, I didn't get to go to the mocap studio. I'm going to be doing that the next time, but this time I went where they actually take care of all the animation once they have, like, the mocap and just animation in general and stuff. And super cool. I got to kind of check out just the architecture of the building itself was super sweet. And then I was pretty jealous. I mean, you go in there and the studio is just like a masterpiece. I mean, they've got like tons of, they've got like, what is it? Ping pong tables. They've got pool tables. They've got like an arcade center of like 1,000 different arcade games, like from the beginning of time, you know, that this guy created. And then like, I don't know, they've got this huge fridge that's got, like, every beer in the book that you want, or water, or wine, whatever it is.
What the hell are we still doing here?
Are they hiring?
No, but yeah. I mean, it was crazy. It was the coolest, and then the place itself was just so beyond sweet and awesome. I mean, I walked in there, and I was like, no wonder you can be creative in here. I mean, holy Jesus, you know? And people are gaming, and, like, yeah, it was amazing. God. It was truly beautiful. I have to say that. And there was a screening room where I got to check out some of the stuff that this studio actually was a part of. And I know that they did, it was Batman Arkham Origins. They did, I think it was The Elder Scrolls. I don't know which one it was exactly. I'd have to check. I want to say it's one of the newer ones. I think it might have been the newest. And then speaking of which I actually was just looking into this, Dark Souls 2. I don't know. I need to look a little further into this. I'm not sure if they just created kind of the, the trailers for the games, you know, because sometimes they do just do a lot of the motion capture stuff for the trailers of the games, but a lot of different stuff. And it's not even like a huge like studio.
Are you trying to tell me they're the ones to blame?
I don't know.
That's not how it works. CG trailers aren't the same as in-game trailers. We've had this conversation.
Yeah. It's not the same. So I think they took care of probably the stuff that was not necessarily in the game. It might have just been the trailer itself. So, but super cool stuff. And I mean, it was so unreal to just kind of see it in where all the making kind of happens, you know? I don't know. It was just, like, super neat. You're just, like, having a beer, you know, hanging out, chilling, watching on the screening room as you have all, like, the animators and everybody is, like, there. And I don't know. It was a super, super neat experience. I can't wait to actually go check out the mocap studio. And I don't know, just all around, it was wonderful, and I loved, like I said, going back to gaming this week. I mean, it was all about Tomb Raider, and I was in my element. I mean, I don't know, you guys make fun of me because I get too much into it, but I really, truly do feel like Lara Croft, you know, when I'm in there.
Well, this again.
Whatever, I have no shame. I have no shame. You know what? I have a big imagination, so I might as well be able
to... You know what, Steph, if it makes you feel better... last time I started playing a Star Trek game, I was donning the Captain Kirk uniform.
There it is.
I was rocking Khan.
Yeah. I love
Khan!
Old Khan.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it's all a creative medium, you know, in which we're just expressing ourselves through these games. It's wonderful. So, I've been really happy with it. And my next thing that's on the list now is just trying to find myself a really good video gaming chair. Because I was thrifting.
Yeah, you got to have the captain's chair.
Oh, man, dude.
Captain's chair is sacred.
It's sacred, yeah. No, I was looking at different ones. I saw one at a thrift store, and I was like, no way. And it was funny because my roommates, I mean, it was three girls. We go to a thrift store. We're supposed to be looking at cute clothes, and I see this gaming chair.
Wait. There's a pattern here.
What?
This was that same date you went on at the Target, isn't it?
Shush! Get out of here. Let's leave Target at where Target was.
So, no! I don't know. Like, we got to just bring that one up.
Oh, get out. And, my roommates, my female roommates, and then I saw this chair, and it was, like, beyond heaven. So I realize now that I need to get myself a video gaming chair. So if anybody wants to post up, either call in or on Facebook, let me know if they have a video gaming chair or what they think would be the best route for me to go, because I would love the surround speaker type ones, you know, and super.
Make sure you show off the expensive ones. We want to see, like, speakers in this thing, like a dial on the side.
I don't want it too ridiculous, unless it's, like, king. Someone's making it custom. That's another story, so, yeah.
Comfort is king. The things that have speakers in them are rarely, like, super comfy.
Did you say comfort is king?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I want to have, like, a cup holder that's got, like, the swirly little straw that goes into my mouth so I don't have to move, you know? Like, that's what I want.
So what you do with your Hollywood budget is you go and check out some Aeron chairs.
Anyway.
I'm kidding. Anyway, so that was my week, but it was definitely a really good, fun week, and, you know, I'm just attacking the Tomb Raider, so, yeah.
Fair enough.
All righty then. So, Kramer, what about you? What's going on?
Well, you know, first to make you guys and, you know, anyone listening a little jealous or more so, a lot of the perks that she was, you know, talking about and gushing about are fairly standard. Like, you know, the last couple... Yeah, the last couple studios I worked at had, you know, the fully stocked fridge with everything in it. One of them had a beer tap in the kitchen.
Yeah, you're
awesome.
In the wrong.
It's so awesome.
Now, one of them had a Jaeger machine, you know, and, like, it's literally you just put up a shot glass to it and an ice-cold shot of Jaeger comes out, you know.
Hey, folks, this is officially the last episode of The Good Game, guys. We will be trying to get ourselves an application at a gaming studio. Don't know which one.
Good luck. Yeah, you know,
but
pool
they work
table, foosball
hard.
Table,
they
big screen TVs, you know, the works. I mean, and the thing is, you know, when you're working for a game studio, you are giving up so much of your life to work
yeah.
there. You know, the 10, 12, 14, 15 plus hour days. And so if you are sacrificing so much, they are trying to at least make you comfortable while you're doing it. So, you know, that's why there's a lot of really awesome perks, you know, working in the video game industry.
Are there, like, bedrooms there or something? Like, you just sleep at the office or something?
Oh, well,
sometimes,
if
it depends.
If you're in the office, you're going to be sleeping typically on the floor, but you'll have a nice breakfast when you wake up.
I guess so, man. With
well,
a shot of beer.
I remember one time.
Or with a shot of Jaeger, rather.
No, but they got the viewing rooms. You can sleep on the couches there.
No, I've slept on couches at work. I remember one day on Monday coming into work, and a guy had worked through the weekend, and I found him passed out, leaning over backwards on a beanbag chair. Do you remember the episode of The Simpsons where Homer was fighting the guy from the Big Brothers and he fell backwards over the fire hydrant when he got punched in the face?
Wow.
I don't remember.
He was like that, just draped over a beanbag chair, passed out first thing Monday morning. And yes, and then we also had the arcade machines, which actually made for a really cool and funny story once. Basically, one of the machines over the weekend had blown out and filled the front of the office with smoke. And we had a full life-sized xenomorph in the lobby.
Really?
So imagine walking into the lobby, you got the smoke like an alien's just wafting over everything, and bam, xenomorph right there, right in your face.
Damn it, now I have a sad.
Why do you have a sad?
Because Geiger died.
Oh.
Yes, that was going to be a little bit of a segue, but yeah, Geiger died. But yeah, so, you know, just imagine somebody squealing like Flanders seeing that thing first thing in the morning on Monday.
Oh, wow.
As far as what I've been doing, I finished up Dark Souls 2. I've been getting my ass handed to me in Hearthstone. Though I have been handing asses out in Dark Souls 2 PvP, just people invading me and just me smacking the crap out of them. Like the latest invasion, a guy invaded me, and there's this spell that you can do if you're an invader or not, but it's useful
sure.
if you're an invader, is you can disguise yourself as something in the environment. So that way you can invade somebody, hide, disguise yourself as like a pot or a shrub or something, and just wait for your victim to run by and then backstab them.
Huh.
So what I decided to do is wait for the guy to come to me. So I hit up on a ledge waiting for the guy to run by, and I just suddenly, you know, 5 minutes later, because I was waiting for a while, see a random shrub just gliding across the ground past me. And I'm like,
I know there's a Monty Python reference in there somewhere.
Right. And then shrub just gliding across the ground past me. It stops. It twists towards me. Then just stops. And I'm like, Run, smash, and I just smashed the crap out of him, killed him. But it was like the Looney Tunes. Stop, turn, stop. It's like, crap, Prop Hunt. Did he see me?
Oh, I've had some awesome moments in Prop Hunt.
Yeah, that was basically what I've been doing. I finished up Dark Souls 2. Overall, it was a lot of fun. Less polished than the last game, but, you know, still a great fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Totally fun, despite being lied to about it.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm still butthurt and salty about that, but, you know, I don't blame the quality of the game for the crappiness and skeeviness of the marketing.
All right, fair enough.
So, basically, with all that said and done, I think we're going to go ahead and take ourselves a quick little commercial break, and then just after that, we will be hitting up that favorite little segment of Dags.
Hi, I'm Charles D. Watkins of HavanaWatches.com. HavanaWatches.com provides the highest quality for a great price. HavanaWatches.com offers a range of models, including chronographs, mechanical, silicone plastic, and in tungsten steel. HavanaWatches.com provides stylish features. Our top-to-bottom one-year warranty is one of the best in the industry. All of our models come to you in our custom-designed wooden gift boxes. We have both Swiss and internationally designed models. HavanaWatches.com has been creating high-quality watches since 2004. Our executive staff has over 18 years of watch experience. I myself was the past president of Whitnor Watches International. We are American-owned and operated. Our goal is to provide you with a watch you are proud to wear. We want to be your preferred watch brand in the United States. See our styles at HavanaWatches.com. Find watches exclusively for you.
And we're back, folks.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Well, hello, all my boys and girls.
Whoa. Dude.
Now, if we could add echo to your voice and you just start singing very softly, you know, we'd all be jumping out of windows.
Could you imagine that? This is a song that never
Hang her up.
It goes on and on, my friends.
I got it.
Stephanie, have you seen the original Evil Dead?
One or two, because...
Oh, the original Evil Dead, the original one. Stephanie, have you seen it?
Oh, yes.
No, could you, like, do the song that the girlfriend does after she gets possessed?
How
about me? No. Not another peep, die while you sleep.
Oh, man. Let me get the lyrics for that, and I will totally do it.
Oh, yes. We'll save it for later.
It looks
I'll do it the next time.
I guess so, man. I don't want these guys summoning up demon rituals. Let's go to the news and go look at those demons for a change.
All right, Dag, let's clear it up.
I like my news like I like my coffee in the butt.
Dag has entered that state of nirvana now.
That, you know, that jingle, like, I'm not sure I'm ever going to be able to actually do anything on cue with it because it just amuses me so much.
It just loosens him up.
Hey now. Take it away.
I'm having difficult fucking Kramer. You're a terrible bastard, Kramer. EA announces that tomorrow is the release date for the PC edition of the Expedition DLC for Titanfall. Respawn's mech shooter saying that the Xbox One edition also comes out tomorrow, while the 360 edition will follow next month. This pins down the previously revealed May release date for the add-on, which is the first of three such releases. Furthermore, Titanfall recently was patched to Game Update 3 amidst numerous bug fixes. The game's refresh cap has increased from 60 to 144. So those of you with those swanky monitors may experience some 144 FPS V-Sync bad touch.
Yay.
Indie Romanian developer Scorpius Games announces Steam Early Access is now underway for I Shall Remain, a survival horror action RPG set in an alternate history post-World War II U.S. ravaged by biological warfare. The news is accompanied by a whole bunch of new and recent media, including screenshots, a Steam trailer, a combat gameplay trailer, and a non-combat gameplay trailer. You can find all of those on YouTube just by searching up I Shall Remain. Take-Two Interactive Software's fiscal 2014 financial results are online, seeing them lay claim to the title of the top console and handheld video game publisher of 2013 in North America and Latin America. They've got some big numbers driven by sales of GTA 5, which they call the best-selling console video game of 2013 in North America, Latin America, and Europe combined, with more than 33 million units sold. They say for fiscal year 2014, GAAP net revenue grew 94% to a record $2.351 billion as compared to the $1.214 billion for fiscal year 2013. GAAP net income from continuing operations increased to a record $361.7 million or $3.20 per diluted share as compared to a net loss from continuing operations of $31.2 million or 36 cents per diluted share from the prior fiscal year. Take-Two is doing good.
Yay!
GameStop has details about Dragon Age Inquisition Inquisitor's Edition, a special edition of the game that only just costs merely $100 more than the deluxe edition of the game. So what makes this worth a purchase price of $169.99? Well, in the package, you're going to find a highly detailed collector's edition case made by Triforce, a cloth map of Theros that measures out to 22 by 32 inches, a 72-card major and minor Arcana, Arcana Tarot deck with custom artwork representing Dragon Age lore, an Inquisitor-styled full-scale six-piece lockpicking set, a set of four full-scale map markers, an Inquisitor's badge, a quill and ink pot, because ballpoint pens are just so inconvenient, a 40-page Inquisitor's Journal, Orlesian coins, a limited edition steelbook case to house your game, and the Dragon Age Inquisition Deluxe Edition. The game is not due out until October 7th, 2014, for those who haven't heard. What?
Oh, yeah, sorry, just a little issue with our monitor. Just turned on and turned off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've kind of been experiencing a bit of a heat wave here in California.
It was only 108 degrees in my car today when I got into it.
It's only like 95 degrees inside of this place.
It seriously is.
At 10 p.m.
Yeah. Yay, California.
Yay.
I hear ya. I drive around in a Jeep Wrangler, so I can't even do anything about the heat. So I'm just like, well, I'm just going to deal with it.
Why don't you just drive through some mud holes, Stephanie?
Because I'm, like, in L.A.
Anyway, let's
Why don't you
check.
Drive through some potholes, Stephanie?
Why don't you drive off Santa Monica Pier?
Jeez, Stephanie. Why don't I just do that? Gosh, what was I thinking? I'm such an idiot.
Stephanie.
EA News has an update on EA titles hosted on GameSpy, admitting they don't yet have a plan to preserve multiplayer support in some of their titles impacted by the impending shutdown of GameSpy services. They say they are hoping the community can participate in finding a solution, but in the meantime they announce they have nothing to announce in this regard. Well, at least they were forthright about not knowing what to do this time, and that's news to us.
Hey.
I think they're just trying to formulate the most painful response they possibly can.
Probably. Like, they're probably going to try and find a way to hurt your wallet the most. Upper One Games announces Never Alone, which is the first game from the first indigenous video game company in the U.S., noting that the title is Kisima Ingichuna in Inupiaq, a language of the Alaska Native people in the Arctic. This will put the player in the roles of a young Inupiaq girl and an Arctic fox, and the Never Alone website has a trailer for the game, which is expected for Windows, PS4, and Xbox One this fall. Here's more from their website at upper1games.com. In Never Alone, players take on the roles of Nuna, a young Inupiaq girl, and an Arctic fox, in an atmospheric puzzle platformer that combines traditional folklore, stories, settings, and characters handed down over many generations by Alaska Native people whose roots and heritage date back millennia. featuring imagery and themes drawn directly from the Inupiat and other Alaska Native cultures. Never Alone features striking visuals, emphasizes the sensibilities and perspective of these indigenous Arctic people, and requires players to work cooperatively to succeed in challenging and harsh environments. Like, you know, the Arctic. And, like, Alaska.
And the thing.
Because why not?
You get to join the SEAL Club?
Kramer, get out. A new trailer.
Slam!
To school for a little Watch Dogs 101, offering more than 9 minutes from Ubisoft's open-world action game. As announced, check out the Ultimate Watch Dogs preview and see how to hack the city to make it your weapon. Learn everything you need to know about the game that defines next-gen. Only I'm sure Stan's got something to say about that. Stan?
Do you want me to start now or later?
Yeah, go for
yeah.
it.
After doing the song and dance with Top Hat and Kane throughout the entire development process just a couple of weeks before release, Watch Dogs is no longer 1080p 60 frames a second on PlayStation 4. Watch Dogs will now be 900p 30 frames a second on PS4. So they just chopped the frame rate in half and took a bite out of the resolution.
Ooh.
And you're wondering, well, you know, what about the Xbox One? 792p and 30 frames a second.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been like one downgrade after another for that game.
Well, at least they're announcing it before the date of sale.
Yeah.
We can't
stop kicking that dead horse, can we?
I say at least, because, I mean, that is pretty much the least they could do.
Yeah.
And then also, Stephanie, how many special editions you want to guess they've announced for Watch Dogs?
How many have they announced for it?
Yeah. Take a guess.
Six.
Six? Oh, isn't that cute. Try nine.
Nine have announced special editions.
Nine special editions
nine?
For the game. Now, mind you, they get a pass
number nine?
In part by the fact that some of these special editions are exclusive to various regions and territories. So that's okay. But here's the thing. If you are in the U.S. and you want to buy a special edition that has everything included, you have to spend over $350 by mix and matching several other special editions. Europe is the only territory that you can buy a single special edition and get everything.
Wow.
Right, yeah.
I think we know where we're going.
So if you want the entire game, you know, all the content, all the digital content, all the DLC, all the physical stuff, you have to buy three different things in the U.S.
So, I mean...
Over $350. And one other thing that really pisses me off about it is how skeevy some of it is. For example...
Yeah, give us some examples. Like, what's in this DLC stuff that apparently...
I'll give one example so that Deg can continue with the news. So they have the Digital Deluxe Edition, which is it's supposed to be the game, plus all the pre-order DLC, plus all of the DLC, plus this, you know, season pass content.
Huh.
You know, so you're supposed to get everything game-related but no physical stuff because it's the Digital Deluxe Edition. I mean, we all understand that, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so the Digital Deluxe Edition is exclusive to PC and PlayStation. Now, here's the thing. The PlayStation version of the Digital Deluxe Edition has one extra piece of content because it's exclusive to PlayStation. And while, you know, that's not so great, we understand that, right? You know, we're not blaming them.
Is it just a costume, or is it, like, extra missions, or...?
Yeah, I'd have to look at the whole details, but it's a piece of exclusive DLC, and I think it's a short collection of missions.
Huh.
Okay.
While it's not great, you can understand that, you know, Sony paid for exclusivity, you know, it's that's just the way that it works.
It just happens. Yeah.
Right. Well, here is where that gets thrown the hell out the window and they have no excuse. The Uplay exclusive version of the Digital Deluxe Edition. So there's the PC Digital Deluxe Edition, which is, you know, Steam and, you know, everywhere else. And then there's the Uplay exclusive one that you can only buy on Uplay. It has the PlayStation exclusive content.
Huh.
Where's their excuse now?
That's kind of skeezy.
It's extremely.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Huh.
Because they're like, oh, whoa, the PC Digital Deluxe doesn't have this content right here because it's exclusive to PlayStation. but your, the one that you guys are specifically selling yourself, has it. Jump out of window.
So.
Wow. That sounds like some really ballsy marketing.
Right, and yeah, and if you wanted to be an idiot and buy every single special edition, that would be about $1,240.
Shit.
Who on earth would do that for one game?
Well, and the truth of the matter is, you wouldn't. You wouldn't do that because you'd basically be getting, you know, 7, 8, 9 copies of the game and, you know, 12 copies of this, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying that if you bought them all, that's how much each individual unique special edition costs.
Wow.
Wouldn't they just, like, eventually at a certain point just say, here is this particular DLC that has all the DLCs that were pre-order bonuses? I know they've done this with a couple other games in the past.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, this is all just their pre-release marketing and ass pull, you know.
So hey, folks, don't fall for the pre-orders. Wait for it all to be released on one package.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let yourself get devoured by the hype. Like, don't let the hype train run over you. I'm excited about the game because it looks like fun, despite, you know, the flaws that Span has brought up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, if you're a PC gamer, for example, I'd say the best way to go would be to just grab the PC Digital Deluxe Edition on the, you know, from the storefront of your choice. You miss out on one piece of DLC that they'll probably release after the fact later, because, you know, those exclusivity deals are usually, like, timed.
Yeah.
Or if you don't mind, you play, just buy it on Uplay and get everything. Bam, congratulations, you got the game, all the DLC, the season pass, and you're
right.
Done. But then if you're like a swag whore like I am, and you just got to have all the special edition crap, you're kind of screwed.
Well, you're just going to be parted from your money like every other fool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that issue with Watch Dogs. And I actually want to go ahead and kind of lead into this one a little bit. But
isn't Deg? Deg, are you done with the news?
No, news
yeah,
finished.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh. Okay. So that was the last part. That's why I'm like, I'm gonna let Deg get back to the news.
Yeah. No.
But well, yeah. No. The
Watch Dogs is the last part because I figured you'd have some stuff to say about the specs. See, I'm a thinker.
I mean, but seriously, isn't that messed up? They're like, yeah, poster child, 1080p, 60 frames a second. Never mind.
Well, hold on a second. That didn't give you permission to just go back on the topic. We're moving on here. Oh, man, I kid with you, Kramer.
Yeah, you couldn't hold your own.
Oh, man, I smell the red in your face from here. You mad, bro?
You be fuming.
Anyway, so actually, I want to lead into a discussion you and I were having off the air, Span, about what was the particular issue you were having again? I remember you were bringing up something about where game reviewers were kind of going off about Borderlands 2 on the PSP for a moment.
Okay, so basically Borderlands 2 is launched on the Vita, and
yeah, the Vita.
I mean, and anybody with a brain in their head can understand here, you know, it's a major console and PC game, open world FPS RPG being squeezed onto much weaker handheld system. It's not going to be as good.
You're right.
I mean, it's a testament to the developers that it's the exact same game.
And like some of the things that I remember that they kind of had to take away just to make this thing work out.
Well, here's the thing. I've said it's a testament to the developers and how good they are that they actually were able to fit the entire game, put a few of the DLC packs on it, you know, extra characters. They still have the multiplayer, but it's gone from 4-2 player co-op. But it's like, it is Borderlands 2 in your hands, but it's a slightly compromised vision because it is a handheld game. And like,
sure.
You know, you and I can understand and reasonably say, hey, you can't realistically and reasonably expect the exact same game. I blow for blow, feature for feature, graphically, mechanically, everything on a handheld, right?
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a given.
Right, and basically all the reviews are just like slamming this game. And I understand, and I say, yeah, it's okay to mark off a couple of points because it is a lesser experience. Mm-hmm. But they're like basically, oh my God, I'm not getting the exact same game that I played on my Xbox or my PC. This is crap.
Huh.
And it's like, the game works. It functions. It has all the relevant, you know, features and content. And here's the thing, though. Like, the reviews aren't just slamming the game. The reviews are almost a polar opposite of every user review so far. Like, if you look on Metacritic, the user scores are like 20% higher than any of the critic scores. And I'm not defending the port or anything, but, you know, I speak up when I see stupidity. And I'm seeing some really stupid things in the reviews for the game. One review said that it had all the DLC included. Another said that it had all the major campaign DLC included. Another one said that it had both of the campaign DLCs included. And, you know, from past shows, you guys know already what's wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, well, one, they've repeatedly announced that, you know, that all of the DLC isn't included. There's actually several significant DLC packs missing. I mean, the developers announced this. It wasn't a surprise. So, you know, 10 seconds of actual research could have cleared that up. Or, hell, just looking at the damn box. Look at the box to see what's included. But, like, these people that get paid to review games are getting basic details wrong in the review of the game that they're just shitting all over. And then another reviewer said...
Sorry to interrupt you real quick. Like, I'm kind of being reminded of the situation where this has happened in other games in the past, such as Natural Selection 2. And
I said that to you.
Shut up.
Shut up.
You're ruining the magic.
I want to be a stone cutter.
but yeah, I mean, hey.
Well, I had one sentence left. Basically, one reviewer said that the graphics and performance weren't acceptable considering how amazing games like Killzone and Uncharted look on the Vita, which just shows a baffling misunderstanding of how even development works, you know, like on a game natively and specifically designed to a system versus a game that was ported to it. And, you know, what can you guys say about that before we move on?
Wow.
Like, Deg, does that not sound bafflingly stupid of a comment to you?
It really does.
Like, they're like, Killzone and Uncharted look amazing on the Vita, so it's unacceptable that Borderlands 2 looks less good on it.
Right, and you've already said just about everything I could possibly hope to, and then some, about the entirety of the subject.
I'm sure you have to have something a little extra.
I've got nothing additive.
Well, I mean, to wrap it up, I mean, these people are comparing an open-world FPS from a much more powerful system ported to a less powerful handheld to linear games that were designed specifically for the hardware and using them as apple-to-apple comparisons.
Right.
And these people are paid to say this crap.
Sure. I mean, that's...
And, you know what? We
Dex just flabbergasted right now.
You know, we kind of got away from the reason this was brought up. So, like, before we move on to, like, talking about things like natural selection, the reason I bring this up is because, you know... reviewers, like, I don't know what we need to do, but seriously, like, when these people are paid to review games and their reviews hold sway over consumer dollars and, like, say, bonuses that companies get and whatnot, and when they are, you know, saying things that are just so bafflingly wrong that, you know, like anybody with any knowledge of the industry or how development works would know is wrong, or just simple details of the game that can be proven false by looking at the box. Like, not one, not two, but three different reviews I read didn't even understand that all the DLC wasn't included in the game. And it's like, how do you hold these reviewers accountable? When they're not just being wrong in the reviews, they're crapping all over a game and wrong on top of it.
Mm. Yeah. I think, Span, I think you just got us.
Uh-oh. Did I break the show?
Yeah, you kind of broke the show a little bit, pal.
The monitor piece of shit broke the show.
Anyway, well, damn it, you kind of... left me in an awkward situation since you said most of what needs to be said.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. Did I drop the mic or something?
Kinda. I mean, dude.
Well, you said everything.
I'm sorry. You know, when you got me going. You asked me. You literally said, "Hey, Span, talk about this thing."
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I guess.
All right.
I guess.
But you wanted me to continue with natural selection.
Well, you know what? Actually, fill in the blanks for me a little bit. How about that?
All right. Well, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. I'm here to serve.
Bend over.
Didn't we already say this wasn't an X-rated show?
He just said that your name was Ben Dover. That was it. That was it.
I just had to ask him to pick something up over there for me. That's all.
What, the soap?
Yes. But anyway, awkward moment aside.
Wow.
So.
Very awkward.
So. Wow. Yeah, basically, you know, you were discussing with me saying that as far as reviewer, like, focusing on the fact that a lot of these reviewers are kind of going off for a pretty decent moment, kind of just saying all sorts of skeezy stuff. And you were telling me about Natural Selection 2, where the person apparently had never played the game whatsoever and just decided to go on to the Steam page and just read the quick summary right there.
I have an idea.
What's up?
Let's open the line up.
Oh, yeah, huh? We do have a line that
How
people could call
that?
In.
So
that'd be a good idea.
If you guys want to call in and chatter with us for a while, you can certainly do so at the phone number is 914-338-1303. You can also hit us up on Skype at GoodGameGuys1. And if you're just tuning in, check out our Facebook fans page at facebook.com/GoodGameGuysShow.
We do try to keep it updated. So remember, I mean, any little side things that we decide to do with the Good Game Guys, we set it right there.
Right.
And, you know, to really wrap up the point and then, you know, continue on to what you were asking me, you know, I went off there for a few minutes and, you know, I really called out reviewers and pointed out some, you know, bad stuff that they were doing.
Yeah, you definitely did.
I ultimately really didn't come to a point. If you think about it, I really didn't come to an ultimate point. And the reason is because, you know, this wasn't so much me bringing up an issue and saying, and this is what we need to do about it. This is me just, you know, the game has just come out, and I was calling out some shoddy journalism. And, you know, and sometimes that's
and
really all
that
what we're doing.
And I imagine that kind of hurts you a little, too. I mean, since you've worked with IGN in the past, I mean.
Well, I mean, I've been on both the media and the development side of things over the last 10 years. So as a journalist, it hurts me to see shoddy journalism like that. And as a developer, it hurts me to see a game that deserves praise for the fact that they were able to get a big-ass console game onto a handheld, and it works. Yeah. They deserve praise for that, not to be given a 4 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10 for a game that's literally just an acceptable, slightly worse version of a much bigger console game.
You know, isn't that pretty much the case with almost every handheld game? Let's be honest here.
No, you know, that's a conversation for another day. Like, I have a Vita, I have a 3DS,
you know, let's actually,
I have an iPad.
Hold on.
Let's have that conversation. Because, no, there are some handheld games that, me personally, I think, have been better than our console versions.
Really? Like, thank
yes.
you.
Like Trauma Center.
Really?
You know, I can name a few.
I think the DS version of Trauma Center was superior to the Wii version in every possible way. Aside of
Persona 4. Persona 4 Golden is the best version of the game, and it's a Vita game.
Right.
Okay.
So, no, there are...
I mean, so, all right, well, hang on, though. We have Persona 4, we have Trauma Center, although I kind of disagree a little on the Trauma Center.
Really?
Did you play it?
Yeah, I played the Trauma Center.
Bitch.
I played both the DS version, and I played the Wii version. And the Wii version I kind of felt was a little on the more superior side. I guess maybe here's where I sound like a big baby or something, but the game got a little more easier because you could actually access your equipment via Nunchuck as opposed
more
to...
More easier?
Lol.
Look, just work with me, damn it.
See, I thought that Trauma Center under the...
You're a bad mouth journalist.
...better controls. It may have been more difficult because it was a faster-paced game, but the controls allowed it to be so. You didn't have these glitches where you point the freaking nunchuck at the screen or whatever, and your cursor would suddenly be off in Egypt.
Well, remember, the only reason that happens is because you decide to put your TV next to the window. Don't do that. You won't experience it.
Lol.
Well, I mean, you know, this is like literally a huge conversation that we could be having. You know, one side of it is judge games on their own merit, regardless of what platform they're on. And if it's a port, you take into account what platform it comes from, what platform it's gone onto. And there is a bit, not too much, but a bit of a grading curve that, you know, I think you should take into account. For example, you wouldn't judge the Vita version of Borderlands too harshly for not looking as good as its console version, because that's ridiculous.
Sure.
You're allowed to say it doesn't look as good, because that is a fact, and that's a reasonable thing to say. But to say...
Hold up.
Yeah?
Lost us a Stephanie.
Well, then get her back.
Oh, trying.
It's trying. Skype is being silly.
Yeah. Silly Skype.
You know, I do think that we should go back, you know, and
there
I was...
Actually, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but, you know, I was actually... Because we only named two things so far to me, and I kind of want to know what else out there as far as DS, you know, console games are more superior than the... Sorry, the handheld games being more superior than the console games.
That's a very specific question. I only had that one answer for it.
Okay, so, Span, aside from Persona 4, because so far all I'm getting is... There's two golden eggs in this world of shit.
Hello?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of NES ports? Bam.
Really? That
NES,
is such
SNES, PlayStation ports, games that were remastered and put onto handhelds.
Okay, hang on. Are we actually talking about the remastered or just straight up ports?
Column A, column B, either or. You specifically asked about games that are better on handhelds.
Sure, and in all honesty, I don't think I could accept ports as a viable answer. I'll accept remakes like...
How does that not... Okay, you are literally saying handheld version of a game better than a console version of a game, and saying, well, it can't be a port.
Right.
Because what... Okay, here's why.
Changing the rules.
Borderlands
is a port. Hold up. Here's the...
Persona is a port.
Hold up. But
Trauma Center is a port.
There's more stuff in there. And guess what? Trauma Center originally came out on the DS. And they added more stuff on the console version. This is why it's not a straight port. See, when you're getting into the ports on like the NES and the SNES ports, guess what? There's nothing new added to them. It is straight up the old game that you got from...
No. But except that isn't what I was talking about. Like, a lot of these games are improved ports. Smoother graphics, better sound quality, some more content. Like, look at Chrono Trigger, for example.
Okay, alright, looking at Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger, they added full animated cutscenes.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, a Toriyama animated cutscenes. Like, that's just an example. And, like, you know, Nintendo is, you know, king at, you know, grabbing NES, SNES games, giving them a coat of polish, maybe adding a little extra content, tweaking, you know, things here and there, and re-releasing them on the Virtual Console or, you know, on a cartridge or what have you.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's not to say that, oh, you know... A couple of games are the exception, you know. I don't even understand why we're having this conversation.
I'm not saying a couple games are the exception here.
Except that's exactly what you did say.
It's entertaining.
Those are the words
that you said. You said a couple of golden eggs don't prove anything.
I'm using an analogy here. Well, I mean, seriously.
Laid an egg.
Now, see, hold on.
Oh, jeez.
But see, what you did right there, though, with bringing up Chrono Trigger, you brought up a game that actually had more add-ons to it.
Well, no.
Because you asked me to.
Right. You.
But you said previously before, when you started bringing up the ports, you did not specify when you said, like, all these old games that Nintendo and...
Just because I didn't specify didn't mean that it wasn't
part
of it.
I'm referring to the virtual, like, the virtual console stuff.
Well, no, yeah, you're thinking of emulator crap. He's talking about games that Nintendo have gone and fully re-released. Like, if you re-release something on the DS, you think, oh, well, Nintendo obviously added support for, you know, both screens, maybe have a map on one of the screens, or in the...
Like Super Mario 64.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, the one that basically you started off playing as Yoshi?
The one that was, like, completely remastered for
Super
the
Mario
DS?
Super Mario Advance 2? Yes.
I'm confused which Mario we're talking about now. Are we talking about 64 or?
Both. You know what? I think the topic kind of got away from you.
I guess so,
I
because...
I think it got away from all of us.
I guess so.
Not from me. I've been on point. Hey, Stephanie? Drew Carey, why don't you...
All right, gentlemen. I've just looked zoned out listening to you all. Are we done with this?
I suppose so.
Wow.
Cap, why don't we...
I'm going to call the end of this fight, and I'm going to call it a draw.
Very funny.
Oh... So, next one up.
Why don't you help Captain find his eyes?
Ouch.
Against the ropes for like 10 minutes and you're calling it a draw.
Oh, come on. Get out of here.
Stephanie, why don't you count your money?
Get out of here, you guys. Oh, jeez.
Well, it appears that we have run flat out of topics.
Have we truly?
Not really, no. I got plenty, but...
Oh, of course you have plenty.
Let's leave some for the next show, though.
Well, I guess there is a bit of
We were going to talk about Drive Club, right?
Oh, yeah, huh?
Yeah. Well, as I was saying with the whole last topic, it wasn't me coming to a specific point, but just calling out shoddy...
It's fine. Let's move on from this, okay? Let's talk about Drive Club. I remember you were talking
Fine.
About
last,
this last
week. Last
week,
we ended the show with mentioning something bad that Sony did involving Drive Club. This week, we're going to hit on it real quick because it's literally been taken care of. Long story short, previously, Sony announced that PlayStation Plus members would get a $10 discount on Drive Club when it came out. But if you lost your – not lost. If you let your membership to PlayStation Plus lapse – they would take the game back, meaning the $50 that you spend on the game would be null and void.
Yeah, that was the original claim, but...
That was what they said. That was from Sony. The internet exploded in a torrent of butthurt, and like a day, maybe 2 days at the most, later, Sony went, oops, never mind. So basically they said, you know, they made an official tweet, update. If you have Drive Club PlayStation Plus Edition, we will ensure that you keep the full game access even if your PlayStation Plus runs out. Basically, if you paid for the game, the $50 discounted rate, we're not going to take it away from you. And that's great. You know, props to them for quickly reacting to something. And, you know, guys, did I not call it off the air when I was talking with you guys?
Yeah, you did definitely call it.
I basically said this is something that is so awful that it is either a mistake, mistranslation, or something that Sony's immediately going to backtrack on.
Right.
And they did. And you know, I give them credit for it because, you know, they have been, this generation at least, much quicker to respond to customer complaints than other companies. You know, just kind of obstinately and, you know, arrogantly going, nope, this is our plan, this is our idea. You got to wear the butt cushion that stabs you in the butt while you play. It's part of our vision.
Pretty much.
That was basically wrapping up on the issue that we literally ended the show with last week, because I know people are like, well, what was going on? It's not even an issue anymore.
Right.
Right on. So, cool. That basically resolved itself during the whole week.
That is sort of an issue with having a weekly show, I've noticed, is that stuff changes pretty quickly when it does change.
Yeah.
And we tend to get, you know, kind of old news. You know, stuff might happen directly after a show.
Yeah.
Like it has.
The WildStar beta, for instance. The open beta started last Thursday.
But we couldn't really report that now, could we?
So reporting it now, and there's only 4 days left of it, it's like, eh.
That's there. 4 days of gameplay.
Or are we going to get...
Yeah, it's 4 or 3 days of open beta for WildStar. That comes out sometime in June, I think.
Well, okay, this is something good for Deg. We all like us...
Hello.
Yes?
It looks like we may have something. Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
Yeah, somebody decided to message us on Skype. I won't say who it is.
Still reading. Hang on.
So did the gopher see its shadow and run back into the hole?
Dude, what?
groundhog.
It's too hot in here for groundhogs. What are you talking about?
Never mind. It was the guy. The guy got spooked. He wanted to say something on the show, got spooked, and changed his mind.
Well, possibly. I mean, we just noticed the message, and
Cinequi is making mention about the Xbox One Kinect free version stuff.
Yeah, which is something that I was going to mention.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. Well.
Well, what is Cinequi saying?
Time for me, unfortunately. I got to be taken off because I got a schedule to keep.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to let Deg go on his merry way and continue the show for at least the next few minutes, right, Cap?
Yeah, I suppose the next few minutes anyway. In the meantime, you go ahead and lead off the discussion. I'll see to it that Deg here makes it to his car safely in the dangerous streets of San Juan.
All right, well, you know what? This was news for Deg, but we all like ourselves some Killing Floor. Killing Floor 2 has had some official screenshots and a teaser now, and they mentioned that they use a Soldier Fortune-style damage system where you can blow the crap out of enemies and just have chunks blow off of them bit by bit by bit.
Oh, how nicely gory.
Yes, so that was supposed to be news for Deg, which would make him squeal like a little girl because he loves himself some Soldier Fortune. Last week we mentioned that Epic Games is going to announce a new Unreal Tournament game. They have. They announced it the day after our show, and it's going to be a free crowdsourced game, meaning the game itself is free, and a lot of the development will be done by the community. So basically all those mods and stuff just get bolted onto the game, and it can be free or paid content depending on what the creators decide.
Hmm. Well, hopefully free.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you got to make money somewhere.
I agree. All right.
Major gameplay reveal for Sunset Overdrive, which is a big title for the Xbox One. It's exclusive to Xbox One, and it's basically a combination of Jet Set Radio and Dead Rising.
Hmm. Okay.
You remember Jet Set Radio, Stephanie?
I didn't know about Jet Set Radio.
Okay, Jet Set Radio is basically a cel-shaded, cartoony-colored rollerblading game with a lot of grinding and whatnot. So imagine combining that with a game like Dead Rising, which is tons and tons of zombies, building your own weapons, and, you know, stuff like that. So it is a pastel, you know, brightly colored game that you
with
can
zombies.
Grind on rails and stuff while killing zombies.
Alrighty, now that's like safely out here, or...
Are you going to be able to find it on Steam?
It's an Xbox One title.
Oh, it's Xbox One? Okay, gotcha.
Are you talking about the game that I just mentioned or Jet Set Radio?
No, I know Jet Set Radio is on Steam, but...
Sunset Overdrive is an Xbox One exclusive.
It's Xbox One, okay, gotcha.
All right, a couple more quick hits. The Netflix price hike is official for new customers. Old customers will continue, you know, paying what they're paying for now, and eventually it will raise for them, but new subscribers are paying $1 to $2 more a month.
And that has to do with the whole Comcast situation, right?
I mean, just the whole internet thing that's going on right now, yeah. Yeah, so it's raising its price from $7.99 a month to $8.99 a month, and that only applies to new subscribers. Old subscribers are continuing to pay what they pay for now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Wolfenstein New World Order is getting a day one patch, and it is as big as some games are by themselves.
Really? Like, what exactly is this patch? Like, bug fixing?
We don't know, but basically, Wolfenstein is an enormous game. It is like,
is
around 50 gigs. And the day one patch on PlayStation 4 is about 5 gigs. On Xbox One, it's about 7.3 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Patch.
And then in Wolfenstein have, I know I'm remembering a particular game. I don't remember if this was Wolfenstein, but it was a... If I'm recalling correctly, Wolfenstein was a game that required you to have everything installed in it before you could play it, or am I thinking of something else here?
The game isn't even out yet, so...
No. I mean, this was, like, rumored beforehand. I remember this was either going to be a Watchdog situation, or was it going... Or if it was going to be...
You know, I couldn't tell you about that, but I think what you mean is, like, one of those games that you can play while it's installing?
No. I mean, just like a game where it had, like, multiple discs, and each disc was meant to install onto the console?
Well, It's a Blu-ray disc. So unless you're talking about the last gen version, I don't know about the last gen version.
You know, maybe I could.
Current gen version is Blu-ray discs. Last gen version is, you know, four, you know, DVDs, three DVDs, whatever it is. So, you know, I couldn't tell you about the last gen versions. You kind of just dropped that on me. I'm like, what? Huh?
I thought you were prepared for this stuff.
You know what? You know that I know almost everything about gaming, but I don't know everything about gaming.
Well, speaking of stuff that we know about gaming, who's pretty hyped up for anything that is supposedly coming out in the E3?
Everything.
No, but honestly, I kind of want to get into a bit of something real quick, because I got pretty hyped when I looked over on... Well, basically, a website labeled as the leak for what Nintendo was going to be pretty much announcing in the future product, and I gotta admit, I was pretty hyped up. If I can find the damn thing.
I thought you were prepared.
Shut up. I thought I was too.
Hey, don't dish it out if you can't take it.
Yeah, I guess I did kind of open myself up to that one.
Right.
But anyway, so. Like I was saying, some of the future lineups for the Wii U or the 3DS that kind of caught my interest. Sorry, Stephanie, are you cutting out again?
Yeah, it looks like Stephanie is cutting out, so we're going to let her go. And
okay.
We're literally like doing a drinking show where as each person passes out, it's just getting lower and lower, and now it's down to the two last hosts.
Who can outdrink the other?
I'm sorry, guys. It probably sounds like I'm a robot, so I'm just going to probably say goodnight tonight, and we'll just say that you guys outdrank me, and I had a whole bottle on my own.
Oh,
all right, then.
All right.
Well,
Stephanie, you take care,
Stephanie.
We will
see you next week, and we'll be wrapping up the show shortly. But, you know, instead of just immediately cutting out as soon as the first person has to leave, we're basically sticking to it and finishing up when we're ready.
Pretty much.
Lots of love, though, guys.
All right, see you next week, Stephanie.
See y'all next week.
See you next week.
All right, so Cap, what were you saying?
So what I was saying is that I'm pretty excited with some of what's coming out with the Nintendo lineup. So a few of these were already concerned, yes. Well, I hold concern over this particular one. This one was definitely announced already, Hyrule Warriors, which was going to be the equivalent of a Legend of Zelda meets Dynasty Warrior kind of a game. I don't know particularly how to feel about that one. Like, I'm not too terribly excited. Bayonetta 2, that one's going to be pretty hype.
Yeah.
But we know about that already. And, of course, Super Smash Bros. I mean, like I said, a few of these we kind of know already coming out. I'm totally hyped up for Super Smash Bros. Coming out. And I think I'm definitely going to consider getting the 3DS version, which has been said to be the first to be released during the summer.
Yeah, they're releasing the 3DS version first.
And the Wii U one will be coming out during the winter lineup, if I recall correctly.
Just, a couple months away.
Mm-hmm.
Between releases, I mean.
Pretty much. And I guess this one also got pretty much revealed relatively recently. Apparently they are going to be doing a remake of Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire.
Mm-hmm.
But the one particular...
You're just going to print some more money, you mean?
Yeah, pretty much. But the few things that kind of caught my interest so far, basically there's going to be a new Metroid for the 3DS, which is going to be, from the sound of things...
I repeat, these are rumors at this
these
point.
These are rumors, folks. Again, this is a supposed rumor. This guy on the site on WordPress says that he has the linked information. If you like, we'll even post the stuff up on so, you know, we can at least say we're not lying.
So when you say Metroid on 3DS, do you mean Prime style or Vania style?
So it looks like, according to the brief description here, it sounds like it's going to be Vania style. It's going to be... Yeah, what do you mean, aw?
I know, here's the thing. I love the Metroidvanias. I've played them. I also love the Prime games, but you tell me that, like, just for example, if they didn't re-release Prime on the 3DS, that you wouldn't be drooling and then taking your hand and wiping that drool all over your face.
Well, that kind of depends. Is it a straight...
Could you imagine portable Prime? Because, like, Hunters was decent for the 3D or for the DS. I mean, and it It was an incredible looking DS game.
Problems specifically with online battle. Because after a while,
it was a great attempt, is what I'm saying.
It was, but after a while, unfortunately, with the action replay, online just became completely unplayable.
Right. No, but could you imagine a full-fledged, not a compromised, as we said earlier in the show, vision of a Prime game, but a full-fledged Prime game on the 3DS?
I think that would be kind of cool, but to be honest with you, I would love to see a return back to the old 2D style, because that's when I
wouldn't have a problem with either. I like them both.
Pretty much. In fact, actually, if you recall correctly, remember back in the days when Metroid Dread was supposed to be a thing?
I still remember that.
I think, what if this is Dread?
That's a possibility. I still remember playing through Metroid 2 on the Game Boy. And right before I beat it, my little brother picked up my Game Boy and dropped it in the toilet.
Oh.
Here's the thing. Do you have any idea how well built those things are?
Dude,
even though it was
on relation to that topic, that in a museum on display, they actually had at I believe a museum or the Nintendo store. I don't remember where exactly, but they had a display of a soldier who was fighting in Operation Desert Storm, who had a Game Boy on him. That thing got completely torched. Like, I guess
got hit by a mortar round. I remember. And the thing on the outside is campfire marshmallowed on the outside.
Pretty much.
But it works still.
And it still plays Tetris, folks.
And the reason you say Tetris is because that's the game that was melted into it.
Yeah, pretty much. Right.
Well, yeah, and like that's how solid these things used to be built. My little brother dropped it in the toilet. It was soaked. Pulled it out of the toilet and... good news, bad news. Good news is it worked still. Bad news, I had like a single row of dead pixels, and it wiped the save on the cartridge. So I restarted the game and I beat it. But like, seriously, Game Boy in the toilet still worked with minor damage.
Let's see, another one on here that apparently is going to be the big surprise. So remember, folks, take this with a grain of salt because we don't know if this is true. In fact, I'd be more inclined to say don't believe this just because of how many times this particular thing has, you know, generated a meme out there. But Star Fox may get a reboot developed by Platinum Games. To me, hype. To Stan, probably not.
No, I mean, Star Fox is good. I'm just, you know... As you said, these are rumors, so I'm just waiting for something a little more substantial before anything drives me crazy.
And like I said, you know, to be honest, this, as I you know, said in the brief disclaimer for this little thing, there's been so many memes circulating around the fact of Platinum just making anything, because Platinum is just that damn awesome.
Platinum is a great company that deserves a little more credit than it gets.
Pretty much. And I would love to see Star Fox... game made by them, because I feel they could actually, you know, bring back what Star Fox was.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, kind of interesting on that. I don't know whether to blame Namco on the death of the franchise. Like, I like Assault, but at the same time, you know, focusing on this one, I think I may have to take it to Command. Command really was the thing that put the decline on the series.
Could you imagine a Star Fox game kind of like Kid Icarus on the 3DS?
I don't
want to... Do you want it to be just straight-up space fighting?
You know, to be honest, I don't want a blistered thumb.
Well, no, what I mean is, do you want it to just be straight-up R-Wing, or would you like some ground missions, too?
You know, I never had a problem with the ground missions whatsoever. In fact, I honestly thought Assault did it right. The problems I had with Assault was too short. And, you know, some of the audio issues in the game itself, but I'll focus on gameplay for now. I honestly felt the game was a little on the too short side, and ground missions were very clunky. In fact, if they were capable of actually perfecting it, making it so, you know, it wasn't like old James Bond or GoldenEye controls. I want to think it was around something like that. Yeah, it's been a while since I played Assault. But
want another Rogue Squadron game while we're talking about these space fighters.
God, I know, right?
I know, but, you know, Disney.
Yeah. That 1313, was it?
Oh, God, that's painful.
That is painful.
So is that it for the rumors?
Well, there's one other particular one that caught my interest, and I was actually listening to, Maximilian, God, I'm blanking on names. But he's basically a well-known individual on YouTube that definitely covers a lot of the fighter game scenes. Maximilian Dude. And he was talking about this one particular name that I believe Game Freak, or I don't know if it was Game Freak or Namco that particularly coined this one, but they trademarked the title Poken, like Pokken, as if they were
Pokemon
trying
X Tekken.
That's what I'm wondering.
I think that's a little far-fetched.
It's a little far-fetched, but you know what? There was a brief little screenshot shown off at a display for Super Smash Bros., I believe, where they had like a brief image of Lucario and a Blaziken standing in an arena Tekken style, in like, you know, Tekken style poses, getting ready to straight up fight. And there's been this rumor circulating for a while that they actually might try and create a Pokemon fighter game. I'm not completely sure how to feel about this one. I think that's an interesting idea, especially to the franchise.
I mean, you have Smash Brothers with Pokemon characters, and then you have, you know, the stadium and arena games. Are they just going to combine them?
I'm not even sure, to be honest. Like I said, this is just straight-up rumor. We know nothing about this except for the name and the fact that it's made by Namco, who pretty much are the creators of Tekken.
I would need something a little more substantial than that before I give it any thought.
I agree with you. In fact, but given the fact that Namco has been desperately trying to bring, you know, give Tekken a little more credit than it has been recently getting it lately, because let's be honest, I think Tekken has taken a bit of a huge hit after Street Fighter X Tekken.
A lot of people didn't like it. Some people really liked it, you know. So, you know, I'm not saying that it's hated in any way. It was just a very divisive title.
Pretty much.
I personally didn't feel it, but I didn't give it a lot of time.
But the thing is, though, is that that Namco has definitely confirmed that they are still working on Tekken X Street Fighter, which I believe we did cover briefly for a moment. But, yeah, they definitely confirmed that they are still working on that. And it makes me kind of wonder what else they have in store for Tekken. Because, you know, not much has really happened save for Street Fighter X Tekken and Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
Right. Well, you know, why don't we touch on what Cinequi messaged us about on the show, show chat.
So, the show chat, really?
On the Skype for Good Game Guys.
See, you confuse me sometimes. But yeah, Cinequi actually went ahead and brought up a particular thing going on where the Xbox One is actually going to be slightly cheaper. Why is this, you may ask? They released the No Kinect version. Thank God.
Well, actually, I don't think that's such a great idea, because here's the thing.
Sure.
When they compromised their vision that much, you know, mind you, there was things that they should have compromised on, mm-hmm. but at this point, The Kinect was all that it had, that the Xbox One had left, differentiating itself from other consoles. So now, without the Kinect, all the Xbox One is just a weaker, same-priced version of the competing console.
To be honest, wasn't it that already?
No, but that's what I'm saying. The Kinect was something that it had over the PlayStation. And, you know, at first, they had this vision of the Xbox One being, you know, all kinds of different things. It was your living room solution. It was your DVR box. It was, you know, your cable box. It had the Kinect for all this crazy functionality, voice and motion and this and that. And bit by bit, these things are stripped out, stripped out, stripped out, stripped out. And taking out the Kinect was the last point in turning it from a vision to just another game console. And not just another game console, but it is exactly the same price as the competition and significantly weaker now.
Well, sure, but the Kinect always should have just been a little add-on that really... This particular package that they are actually releasing should have been there to begin with.
But I feel
I should have had the choice to begin with if I want the Kinect or not. To be honest, I don't really want the Kinect.
Well, maybe you didn't want the Xbox. I'm playing devil's advocate here and saying that, like, okay, for example, the Kinect on the original Xbox It sold well, but nothing beyond a handful of titles really good ever came out
but
for it.
But it was still a thing that was not required to run the Xbox.
And there's a reason. Well, I just said that there was literally nothing beyond a handful of things even worth it for it, and there's a reason why. One, it came out so late in the console lifespan, and two, the fact that it was an expensive peripheral meant that developers didn't want to develop for it because they could only sell to the people that spent $100 to $150 for this little add-on.
So,
if it was an official part of the console, which they couldn't do at that point, they made it so for the Xbox One. And if it was an official part of the Xbox One console,
so let me see what you're getting at here, real quick. Basically, what you're saying is that you feel that Xbox decided to go ahead and push this for the sake of trying to force developers to make better quality games for the Kinect.
Well, force is kind of a strong word to use because, no, the idea is if the Kinect is an integral part of the Xbox, something that's always been a part of it, they have no reason not to develop for it.
Sure.
They didn't develop for it in the past because there was no money in it because, well, you know, not everybody owns a Kinect. We have a fraction of a fraction of the marketplace that we're marketing this towards. But if everyone that owns an Xbox has the Kinect, there's good reason to develop for it. And the thing is that since it is something that is still so, you know, kind of out there and, you know, so much potential but not so much executed on it, you know, that they haven't had that, you know, extra couple of years of, you know, this is a console that has the Xbox One as an integral part of it to really come to grips with it and make some good software for it. And Microsoft folded too soon, said, screw it, we're removing the Kinect, and now developers are going to go, oh, great, now we don't have to anymore, or we're not going to spend the time and money because it's a fractured, you know, user base, and it has compromised their entire vision.
I suppose, but at the same time, I still wish it was something that was more optional, especially since I know for PlayStation Move is definitely a more optional thing. Like, it's not, if memory serves correctly, it's not a forced situation.
Right, but it's really a zero-sum thing. The thing is like, is not something that you can half-ass. It's you either go all or nothing with the Kinect, because now the fact that they have announced a Kinectless version, it is a fact. There is no argument that less developers are going to develop for it.
Sure. And to be honest, I will admit, it would be kind of nice to see, like, the growth potential of the Kinect in itself, but experience has really left a foul, bitter taste in my mouth.
And here's the thing. If the Xbox was as powerful as the PlayStation 4, and then they had the option to remove the Kinect and make it the same price, that would be one thing. But like I said, not only are they compromising their vision, they have now compromised their vision for essentially a weaker console and nothing more.
Pretty much. Anyway, so we are down to pretty much the last couple minutes of our show, so we will go ahead and start wrapping things up a little bit for
you,
folks.
You want to do a final topic?
I suppose, like, a final topic real quick. I usually have something, like, set up for this.
I have one.
Well, we got 5 minutes, dude, so we'll
go
ahead and bring it out just real quick, and then we'll go ahead and start wrapping things up.
You just spent 2 minutes telling me to take or to do it quick.
I'm about to spend 3 minutes.
Oh, wait. I got to do it like Kramer. Anyway, here's the thing. This is something that's been rumored for years. PC port of Red Dead Redemption. Something that people have wanted for years. And for years, Rockstar has said, you know, the console version was developed in such a way that a PC version would either be way too much money or just impossible to do. You know, we just can't do it. The Microsoft compatibility site listed Red Dead Redemption as compatible with Windows, and people are saying this is significant in the same way that, like, you know, oftentimes new game releases are leaked via the ESRB site when their rating is listed on the ESRB site before they're even announced. And there's a few extra little factors that are making people think that Red Dead Redemption might be coming to PC soon.
Right.
You know, in the past, you know, with the cost of porting, because they said, you know, that the console version was just – it was designed and developed in such a way that it would be too expensive to port to PC. Well, now that we have two next-gen consoles, it would – you know, the feasibility and the economic viability is in a much better spot, because if they develop for PC, that same port can be put on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and they can make triple their money instead of just money on a PC version.
You know,
and
I would like them to do a Red Dead Redemption on the PC. I think I'd prefer Grand Theft Auto 5 to be finished first.
And we'll get to that in a moment.
Next week's show, because, like I said, we're running a little thin on...
Wrapping it up here. So, you got the three different consoles that it can launch on, and the upgrades. The last-gen to next-gen upgrades are really popular on consoles right now. I mean, some of the best sellers right now, like, for example, the Tomb Raider last-gen to current-gen upgrade was selling really great. So, you know, they might be seeing how well these games are selling and be going, ooh, we want to get some of that money. And then on top of that, Rockstar has officially announced that they are working on a game that will be launched fiscal year 2014.
Ooh.
And here's the thing. You don't just announce that you're working on a game that's going to come out that year and not, you know, people don't already know what the game is. Like, don't they usually announce a game like a year or two before it launches?
Pretty much. Do you think
so
it's going to be like a really small game?
So if they're saying that a game is going to come out before the end of the year or, you know, March of next year, whatever, it has to be something they're already working on. And they don't have any announced titles right now. So, you know, for them to have been working on something for a few years that's going to come out so soon and they haven't even announced it yet, it has to be something that they've been working on for a while. So that's one of two things. Grand Theft Auto 5 or PC console version of Red Dead Redemption.
Hmm.
Do you think?
All right.
I'm just going to say, rumor. All these factors, you know, mixed together, make it a fairly solid rumor. And Microsoft has said, oh, you know, a couple of days later, crap, you know, listing that was a mistake. But tell me, how often are things, quote unquote, listed as a mistake, and then like a week later or at some point in the future, the developers go, ha ha, just kidding, it was real.
Isn't it also sometimes pressure from the fans? If I'm going to leave that question out there for now, maybe we'll touch up on it next week. So, with that said, got to start wrapping up the show, folks. Sorry to have to leave you all. But
any other hosts have any last-minute things to say?
Silence. No.
We've outlived them all.
Yes, we have. We are the true winners. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, next week, hopefully, we'll have TKO back. He'll probably be feeling better. And, you know, definitely have Stephanie and Deg back. But we'll go ahead and keep you posted on Facebook, which you can reach us, again, by looking up the Good Game Guys show. So that way you can keep up to date on any little shenanigans that we decide to go ahead and start up with. Like, I still keep teasing this, and by God, I'm going to do it, damn it, one day. We're going to consider getting into the live streaming event by having ourselves a bit of a Twitch channel go on. So, hey, get to see how we are at games. Maybe we're good, maybe we're bad. You tell us.
Can I tell you?
I don't know, Span, can you?
Maybe.
Do you possess the skill level?
I possess... Wow, tripped over my own tongue there. I possess many skill levels.
Anyway, so yeah, go ahead and keep up to date with us on our Facebook page. And, you know, also feel free to, next time, I know we didn't have any callers this particular show, but hey, remember, you always can call in and feel free to ask us any questions. Maybe you got an issue that you need to take up with a news article we said or an opinion we expressed, or if you just have any personal questions you'd like to ask us, please, by all means. With that said, though, we are going to go ahead and take off. So, this is Good Game Guys, signing off.
Hi, everybody.